Hello and welcome to episode 25 of My Freelance Life, a podcast from the team here at Millo.co. I'm Preston, and with me on the air today, as always, is my friend Andy. Hey Andy, how you doing?
Hello.
Hey, 25 episodes, man. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Wow. It honestly doesn't feel like that.
It's been a blast, right?
It's been smooth. Yeah.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. Hopefully, listener, we hope you're also having fun. And if you've stuck with us this long, thank you so much. If you're new to the show, you don't know if you're new. If you're new, Andy recently quit his job. And when I say recently, I mean a year ago. I'm really butchering this intro, but Andy quit his job about a year ago to start working for himself. And this show is a weekly check-in between me and Andy to see what really happens when you decide to start freelancing full-time. We've been checking in every week, talking about lots of different aspects of Andy's freelancing lifestyle. You'll find show notes for this episode at freelancelifepodcast.com. And this particular episode is brought to you by Scout Puppy. If you've tried pay-per-click advertising for your business, or you've been burned by daily deals sites, or any of those sort of tactical ways to get your business in front of local clients. Now, I'm talking particularly if you're a freelancer who wants to work with local clients. You should probably drop those for now and give Scout Puppy Local Trusted Merchant a try. Scout Puppy builds you a one-page standalone website. It's hosted on their platform. They write all of the content. They add pictures, videos, links back to your own website, your portfolio, or your social media. They have tons of strong keywords. They submit the page on steroids to over 200 search engines. And then just to be sure your business stays in the search engines, they write industry-specific blog posts every 3 months. They do a ton of work for you. And listeners of this show can try Scout Puppy for 50% off. You'll save half of your first month's payment at scoutpuppy.com. Just enter the promo code ANDY50. That's ANDY50. Just click the add business button, add your business, and start getting more local clients now with Scout Puppy. Again, that's scoutpuppy.com with promo code ANDY50. Okay, we got that out of the way. Andy, we're really thankful for Scout Puppy's support of this episode. It helps us, you know, continue on with the show. So we're thankful for them. But it's time to dive into the really, really good stuff here, Andy. I'm excited to check in today because I think we have a few things to talk about, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Great. So first on my list is just a quick check-in on your website. You'd mentioned before we jumped on the air that you had a little update for me on, you know, to sort of catch, well, maybe you can catch the listeners up if they don't remember on where we have been with your website and now where we're headed with it.
Well, it's not so much an update on the website as it's an update that I need to do the website because
okay.
I have a potential client, and I mentioned him briefly a couple episodes ago, that I had got through a word-of-mouth referral locally. And so it didn't come through Upwork like most of my jobs do. And so I emailed this person. Well, actually they had asked for my contact info, so they had it. But then I decided to proactively email them and just kind of say, hey, I'm here whenever you're ready. If you want to get going on this, or talk more about what you have in mind. And then they replied back like right away, which was really cool, with a great response. And they said, hey, do you have anything? I'm sold on this, but I need to be able to go and pitch it to, you know, whoever's going to be making the decision. Do you have anything that would help with that, like a pamphlet, right, or a resume or a CV? And sure, I got a resume, like I use it, but it doesn't really feel applicable for this sort of thing. So I thought, right, this would be a perfect time to direct them to my website, which I don't have. And so it was just another reminder that, yeah, I should get that going. It would make it a lot easier to direct people to things. But in the meantime, I just whipped up a quick Google Doc PDF thing that was like a, I don't know what would you call it, like a one sheeter or something about me and what I've done, some examples like my core skills and services I offer, kind of like more or less the things I would put on like a one page business website sort of thing. And I sent that to him and we'll hear back. Hopefully it's that we'll be able to move forward on it because it could be a great project. But just all in all, a reminder that, yeah, I got to get that website going.
I love that. And this is actually a great example of like how necessity can open opportunities for progress. Meaning now you have, so out of necessity, you sort of wrote up this one page. You found, I assume, all of the projects that maybe you're most proud of or that are most diverse to sort of show the client what you're capable of. And you basically figured out all of the content that you need now for a one-page website. And what can be really daunting is like is thinking like, I got to do my website, but oh my gosh, it's got to be perfect and it's got to have all of these bells and whistles. And in reality, it actually probably doesn't need much more than what you already figured out and sent in a Google Doc. Now it's just a matter of like putting it online and getting sort of your minimum viable like portfolio site up and running. So I love that you're halfway there, or maybe more than halfway there, honestly. Yeah. The hardest part might be getting the content and figuring out how to talk about it and which projects are best and that kind of thing. So out of necessity, you've been pushed now toward the goal that you've had for a long time, and now you just got to finish it out.
Yeah, and I was definitely thinking that as I was putting it together, I realized, oh, this is going to come in handy later when I do put this. I mean, I've written up parts of it, and there's still a lot to be done. I think the one that's always on my mind when I think about this, it's always at the forefront of the thoughts, is that the name, the going back to the name and the website.
Yeah.
URL and everything, the domain, but I'll figure that out. But it is nice to have this content written, even though it's only a part of it. And there's more that needs to be done, sure, but it'll be good to have this part taken care of when it comes time to building the website. Can just throw that in.
I think it'll be important too to keep in mind that you can change the name and the URL later, right? Like if you really are feeling a business necessity to get the site up and running so that you can... Now, of course, that gets complicated if you print, you know, 1,000 business cards with a URL on it, or if you work really hard on some SEO or some search stuff. But honestly, even that can transfer over later if you change URLs. So I'd say follow what you've done. And I guess I'm sort of saying this as general advice to anyone like this. You take this as an opportunity, right? To say, because I think we've all had these kinds of opportunities where we're forced to do something we've been putting off for a while out of necessity, out of business necessity. And now it's like, okay, let's just finish it out and at least get something up there. And over time you can tweak it and add to it and change it and adjust. But the biggest mistake a lot of freelancers make, or just people in business in general, sort of in business for themselves, is like waiting too long and wanting it to be perfect and wishing that they had more of this or more of that. And in reality, you just probably just need to get moving on it, right?
Yeah, those things, a lot of times those things can just be changed and updated along the way, and that's how they're meant to be even.
Yeah, I love that. Good, man. Well, I think the other thing that I'm really excited to hear about, and I hope the listeners are excited to hear about as well, is last week we talked a little bit about you moving temporarily to California and looking into a co-working space. We talked about how much more expensive it was to work in a co-working space. And then you teased us a little because you said over the course of the week you were going to try out this co-working space, maybe take some photos or videos or something, but that you would for sure at least come back and tell us how it went. And kind of what you're thinking at this point. So why don't we dive in?
Yeah. So, well, drum roll. Well, you don't actually have to give a drum roll. But imagine, oh, good. Drum roll. I am recording this from inside a co-working place.
Nice. You kept that such a good secret while we were getting ready to record.
Well, awesome. It's terribly exciting. I know everyone's just gasping when they hear this. But yes, now we know the end of the story, more or less, that I did pick a co-working space and I did decide to move forward with that.
I love it.
Now, if it would make sense to do so, we can go back and talk through all the other things, why I'm here, what I like about it, all that sort of thing. But given the end of the story before the beginning, I did choose one and I am here recording now.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. Rewind for us a little bit and tell us, well, so I have to know, did you pick the same place that we had talked about last week, the like $450 a month or whatever?
Yes. Okay, and that's cool. An interesting thing. Part of me wonders, like, because this first one I came to, was that like the one that was just, I was sold on it when I first came here. And then when I visited others, cause I did visit a number of them over the week. Did I never feel like it was that one? Because that was like the first one, you know? There might be something to that, but I also feel like there are a lot of other good reasons why I chose it.
Okay, walk us through some of it.
So back, I don't remember when I actually came here. here. I'm working from a WeWork location in Irvine, California. And I think it just was one of the ones that I came up when I first started Googling co-working in the area. And it was one, like a brand that I was familiar with. WeWork was a well-known name in co-working spaces. And so I thought, oh, I'll go check it out. Maybe they'll let me tour the place or stay for a day. And it turns out they were super cool, super helpful when I said I wanted to come in and see it. And they said, yeah, and you can stay for the day if you want, or come back the next day and have a trial day. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I came in,
checked out
the place. It was, the people here were really helpful in like answering my questions and getting me set up to just work from one of the like communal areas for the day. And I was surprised at how well thought out it is. Like, so WeWork has like your hot desk areas, which is just communal spaces where you can sit down and work. And that's what I'm doing. You can also get like private offices that are sealed off where you can have like a room for a whole team or just a couple of people or whatever. But I'm in like a communal hot desk setup. And, but everything is really well thought out. I feel like there's conference rooms that you can book if you need to have a meeting or if you want to do like a Skype call with a client in somewhere more professional looking, whatever the case may be. They have these phone booths, which I'm actually in one of them now, which is a place to kind of get away that's a little sealed off, and you can have calls or Skype. I had a Skype call with a client yesterday in one of these phone booths. They're pretty handy. It's not soundproof by any means, but it is just a little bit more away from everything, because sometimes the communal areas can get bustly if there are people in there, which is part of what I like about it. There's like
an excitement
to it. Anyway, just all these things, all the amenities they offered and the various perks, like it was just very well thought out for someone in this sort of scenario. And anyway, so that was WeWork, and I thought, okay, but it is definitely pricey. It's $450 a month. It felt pricey to me. And
well, compared to the options that you had here, which was like $50 a month.
There was a $50 a month option back in Ogden, which when I move back there, I will most likely take advantage of that.
That's called price anchoring, by the way.
even the other tier, which was double that, $100 a month, seems like a bargain now.
Yeah, totally.
So I decided I should look around anyway to see what other options there were, if there was anything cheaper, and I did. And turns out there definitely are. There was a good variety across like the price spectrum. There were some, I went to see another one called Workwell, and they are newer. They've been around for like 9 weeks, they said. It was really cool, a really beautiful building. And I think it was $300 a month for a similar setup. And I really considered going there. And in fact, part of me still wonders if I might. So I'll get to that in my decision process later. But anyway, it was a beautiful location or a building, but the location specifically of the building wasn't as ideal. Where I'm at now is right across the street from like a shopping center. So there's a lot of good food options, primarily Chipotle, where I eat very regularly. And it's well situated. And the other one was kind of, I don't know, maybe, and again, there may be not a huge difference to this for some people, but I just like the location here better. And
is this where I interrupt you and I say this show is brought to you in part by Chipotle?
Oh,
try their new something today.
The veggie bowl. I always get the veggie bowl. Well, I mean, partially because I'm vegetarian, but even before I was vegetarian, I'd get the veggie bowl because instead of meat, you get the guacamole for free.
Ah, there you go.
That's what you get in place.
Pretty good add-on.
Of meat, and everyone loves guacamole pretty much. Anyway,
we're totally going to call up Chipotle and charge them money for this ad read that we're doing. We have to take like a 20-second pause here because I don't think I knew you were a vegetarian. Is that a recent development, or have you been vegetarian since I've known you, and I just am an awful person for not knowing that?
Well, it's okay. You don't have to know that about me.
Well, like I've taken you to lunch though, and now I'm worried that like, you know, I ordered the like beef nachos or something to share.
No.
And then...
No, it would be fine if you had. I'm not militant in my vegetarianism. Let's see. I am coming up on 2 years.
Oh, nice.
I started at the beginning of the year and I decided I'm going to be, because I mean, for years and years and years, I've been just like partially vegetarian, which is not always a thing, but it's, but I mean, I would make decisions to like choose a vegetarian meal. And I've never really cooked meat a lot at home. Like the hassle of it and like wondering if it's cooked all the way through. Like I just never did that much when I would cook for myself. And then oftentimes when I went out, if there was a nice vegetarian option, I would pick that, but I just never done it like officially. And so one like beginning of a year, like in a January, I guess it would have been, almost 2 years ago, I thought I'm going to just go a month. I'm going to try it. Just be like totally 100% vegetarian for a month, see what happens. And I did. And it was so easy. Like for me, it was so easy. There were maybe only a couple things that I did that month that were different than what I would have done if I had not been vegetarian, like only a few eating moments that would have been different. And so I was like, well, I'll just keep doing this. And that's where I am today.
Cool. And that was like right before I met you. Cause I think I met you probably early 2017 is when
we started
working together. Anyway, we don't need to go down memory lane, but that's okay. Cool. I had no idea. Now I know. Huh. Something. It's fun to learn something new about you on the air too. It's always kind of a surprise. Sorry, we can go back to what people probably care about.
We were talking about Chipotle.
Yes.
Which we were talking about because of
because it was close.
The location,
Yeah. So you were debating between the locations, and it seems like this Workwell, which was a little bit cheaper, wasn't in as good of a location, I think, is where we left off.
Yeah. And there are eating places around there, and I don't know. There's something about it that this just felt like a good spot. It might be because I'm new to the area, and the area where this WeWork is in is somewhere I've already been to many times. So I'm familiar with getting here. I'm familiar with the area around it. Whereas the other one, I like had to just kind of follow up into, not like an industrial park by any means, but it was just kind of like up in a bunch of, well, kind of industrial, kind of like businessy stuff. Anyway, it was just there might've been some of that I was just more familiar with the area.
Which can also be a consideration if people are looking for co-working spaces and they have lots of local clients. Like that might be actually a really legitimate reason to work in a co-working space is I need a place
to say, it's there.
Yeah. And it could be really easy to say it's across from the such and such mall or whatever, you know, instead of like, it's in this weird industrial place. Maybe don't go there after dark.
and I do have to have a disclaimer here or whatever, because I might be making this a bigger thing than it actually is, especially if you are around here and are familiar with it. Like, I don't think it was actually that crazy out of the way. Probably a lot of people work over there where those buildings were. It was just unfamiliar to me. And in fact, I would not, if I was talking to someone, I would not in any way not recommend the other place. It would just be a matter of them visiting both and deciding which one was better for them. Because, nothing about it was any sort of negative. It was just... Yeah. It was just neutral to me in terms of that, whereas this one was a slight positive.
Okay, that's so fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I think that should be said. Because I also like the guy who helped me there, who walked me around and showed me the place. He was crazy helpful. He was really awesome. His name's Ambrose, by the way. You know, in case you're out there listening.
In case you're out there, yeah.
it was really cool, and he told me about all the other workspaces, like the co-working areas. He told me about this one where I'm at that I had already visited at that time. And he was like, I've been to a lot of them. Here's some of the things, like this one's good for this. This one's good for that. And it was just, it was a really considerate way of being a salesperson, I feel like. And I did find that there were some things that he said that weren't accurate, but only in my situation. Like he told me that there were some extra fees even on top of the higher price of the place where I'm at now. Turns out that's not the case if you're doing a hot desk membership. So I was kind of like worried. I don't think he did that on purpose, but like it was helpful that he gave me this information, but I did have to make sure that it was, if it applied to me or not. But anyway, he was super cool, super helpful. I went and saw another co-working space, and theirs was also awesome. Oh, what was it called? Oh, wow. I'm just drawing a blank. I know I have it written down, but oh gosh, I guess it's only important if you're from around here and you'll know what it is. But if that is the case, they had a cool setup where it was you would pay hourly. So you could have like a full unlimited thing, but you could also have just 30 hours for the month and 60 hours for the month.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
In blocks. And yeah. I thought, oh, this might actually be good because I'm not sure if I'm going to use it yet. And it was cheaper because of that, because if you weren't going to use it as much.
Right, yeah.
And
that's the kind of co-working space that I've done, actually. So in Salt Lake City, I bought, so when I was doing Millo on the side and working a full-time job in Salt Lake City, I had like, it was like a punch card. So I buy like 10 hours or something at a co-working space. And then every once in a while I would take a short day or take a long lunch and I would come like record a podcast episode or do like a webinar or something from this coworking space where I only needed like 1 or 2 hours at any given time. And even like, it wasn't like I had to use it in a 30-day period either. It was just like a punch card. Nice. So basically I just, as I needed it, I was able to go use it. In fact, I think I still have a couple punches left if you're ever in Salt Lake City and need a place to, you know, record a podcast episode. But anyway, yeah, I really liked that model because, especially where I was doing it on the side, I didn't need, you know, multiple hours a day. I needed every once in a while to pop in and use a space. So anyway, sorry, continue.
Yeah. Well, I think that can be a great model. And in some ways, it totally fit what I needed. I needed a way to test the idea of co-working and see if it was going to be worth it for me. I could have done that at a low amount and then upgraded if I needed to. And yeah, that could have totally been right. The reason why I wasn't as sold on that place is because they, the open like hot desk area is only available during fairly regular business hours because it's an event space, on the weekends and at night. And so if you have a private office, you can go in there anytime. But if you're in like the central communal area, it's not available after hours. And I don't know how often I will make use of that, but I like knowing that that is possible. Same thing with the unlimited versus counting your hours. Like I've always been a big fan of, when possible, having something that's unlimited, even if you maybe could save just a little bit of money by paying other, like if you're going skiing, you can pay every time you go, or at the beginning of the season, buy a season pass. And this is an example just because it's something I'm familiar with. But if you have to pay every time you go, then every time you go, you feel like you have to totally get your money's worth out of it. Whereas if it's an unlimited thing, you can go. And if you feel like being done earlier in the day, you can leave and you don't have to feel like all worried and stressed about it. So I like that about this place here. Is that it's 24/7 access. I can come in or leave anytime. And if I happen to be really going on a project and in the zone, I don't have to pack up and leave at 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was something that also it was a smaller space. It was a great place even still, but like it was smaller. And I think part of what I wanted was a little more of the excitement of a more bustling place. And
yeah,
that could be totally opposite for some people. They'd rather just like get in a smaller area where there's not as much craziness and just zone out. But part of me wanted to kind of like just be around other people and have that as well.
Yeah. That was a big part of why you were doing it in the first place, right? Was to have some people around, potentially new clients, but also just like other human beings to talk with and have around and feel their energy and that sort of thing.
That's one reason why this appealed to me. The other one, the second one I mentioned, theirs was also a smaller space. I think it would have been still really good. And I've said that I might even still choose that one. The reason why I picked WeWork for now is because they had a promotion that was $100 off for your first month. And I thought, if I wanted to try the two different places and see which one I preferred, now is the time to try WeWork. And so I'll try it. It won't be that much more expensive than the other place. I'll do it for $350 for a month. And if I decide that all these extra benefits that come with a WeWork membership because of how established and like longstanding they've been in the co-working space, if all of these amenities and its location make it worth it, then I'll stay the next month and pay the extra amount. If not, then I'll maybe move and try that other place. But so far, I'm really liking it here. I'm really impressed with the way it's designed and thought out and everything. So we'll see if in a few weeks, if the novelty's worn off or if I'll just decide to stay here.
I love that. I mean, there's benefits in everything that you do, going with like an established chain, people who have been doing it for a long time versus people who are new and a little more maybe innovative, or maybe not more innovative, but more flexible, more able to change quickly to adjust mm-hmm. to your needs, particularly as one customer of maybe 20 or 30 instead of one customer of, you know, thousands and thousands of customers. So yeah, it'll be interesting to hear how it goes. You've been there less than a week, right? So
yeah.
So yeah, it'll be fun to see how the next few weeks go, and then if you decide to stick around.
Yeah, and I mean, if I had to choose now, I would probably just stay here, because I mean, already I feel I'm familiar with it, and I mean, if that happens after a few days, then it would also happen at the next place. But I mean, it's just there's just a lot of good things here that I think I would pick to stay, but we'll see. Yeah,
I've heard really good things about WeWork. Do you get options to work in other WeWork spaces? Like, you know, if you buy a Gold's Gym membership or something, you can also go to other Gold's Gyms for a small fee. Is that a thing or no?
Yeah, there. Well, so with the Hot Desk membership, and I get 2 credits per month, and these credits you get more if you're in a dedicated office or in a dedicated desk or private office or various things. I have 2 credits a month. And other than that, I think you can buy credits for $25 each. And those credits could be used for working at another WeWork location. So I could work 2 times a month at another, 2 days a month at another location. Or cool. I could use those to book conference rooms. I can also use the conference rooms outside of office hours, like before 8:30 and after 6. If there's one available, I can go in there and use it, which is nice because they have whiteboards and I could, like, there's some things I need to sketch out to plan or whatever. But other than that, you would use your credit. So yeah, you can move around. I talked to him because I think it'd be awesome if there was like a roaming membership where you just kind of had unlimited access.
Yeah, to all WeWorks.
No home base. And when I was looking on their website, they might have that, but it looked like it might be more built for like executives or sales teams. And it wasn't like an obvious option on the website. So it might be a call, like you call and have to talk to their sales team, and maybe some sort of like exclusive pricing that might be, I don't know. It would be nice if they had a more approachable, like for the everyday person who just happens to move around a lot and travel or whatever.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's a fair amount of freelancers who are very nomadic in their lifestyle. And so you'd think that there would be an accommodation for that. I mean, I guess technically you could buy more credits, right? Like you could, anywhere you go, you could just pay $25 for a WeWork credit and go to the local WeWork. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you could go there and spend it for the day. So, I mean, that's similar to just buying a day pass at a co-working place anyway. So
that's true.
Also, I think like in places in New York, I was looking it up, and the map of WeWork locations, it's crazy. There's tons of them. And maybe they have something in New York, but it'd be nice to get like a all-access New York pass, and you could choose where you wanted to work for the day. But I don't know if they do have that. I think it would be a great idea.
Yeah, and like if you were in New York City living there for a little while and you wanted to go a bunch of different places or just sort of see the city a little bit more, that would be really fun.
Yeah. And maybe this works for most people. I was talking to one of the employees here, and it sounded like maybe that was something they had considered or they are considering, like a mobile membership or something. But I guess we'll see.
They're still a relatively young company in the grand scheme of things. So it'll be interesting to see how things pan out. But I've heard fantastic things. It's good to know you're having a good experience thus far as well.
I was going to mention some of the perks, because these are other reasons why the price was more palatable, is that this WeWork location, and this isn't for all, it's because of the office building it's in, there's actually a gym membership included.
Nice. Oh, that's really nice.
That might not be as big a deal for somebody who already lives in a location, isn't established. If there's someone who likes to go to the gym anyway, they might already have a gym that they go to. But for me, who just moved here, like, it's perfect that there's the gym part taken care of as well. And you come into work early or stay after and work out, and and there's the gym and there's showers and everything, like that's a nice perk, which helps
add
value to that monthly cost. And also there's a lot of different perks of membership. Like, you can get, there's this site or on their website, there's all these different links to various customer discounts or discounts you get as a WeWork member. So for example, here's one that is Adobe Creative Cloud. This might only be if you're a new account or new user. You get, I think it's like 15% off for your first year, which...
That's not bad.
As it happens, I mean, if you're a graphic designer and you're starting a co-working place, this probably won't work because you already have Creative Cloud. But my wife wants to start learning Illustrator. And so she'll be signing up for Creative Cloud soon, most likely. And it's quite convenient that we'll be able to get 15% off, which ends up being, I mean, what is it, 60 or 100 bucks or something off of the first year. And that makes this, at least this first month, even more affordable when we calculate that into it. There's a ton of different benefits like that, discounts you can get with various companies that might be useful for your business. So there's a lot of perks. It's all this stuff that makes WeWork well thought out. And so I like being here. That's why I chose it.
That's great, man. Well, good. I'm really interested to see how it goes, what other perks you discover. I mean, that's the benefit of like picking a bigger system like WeWork, right? A bigger company that has a little bit of leverage in some places and they can work deals with people like Adobe and they've got other opportunities for you. So that's cool. That's great. Good. Well, and go ahead.
It definitely has come across like, sometimes when I talk about it, it feels like I'm giving an advertisement. I'm not being paid to say any of this or whatever. I like it. After seeing some of the other places, this just made the most sense for me. And I guess I'm not making an advertisement, but if anyone does want to check out WeWork, we can give them a link that will give us some kickback to help support the podcast, if you're all right with that.
Yeah, that sounds great. We'll be sure to include that in the show notes. But do you have one that's like easy to give on the air?
Oh, I don't have it yet, but I can go into my portal and create one and we'll use that. So if any of you want to check out WeWork, you can schedule a tour, I think, through this link. And then if you sign up, it'll help us with the podcast.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah. So we'll be sure to link to that on freelancelifepodcast.com. We'll have a link there. We'll also have a link to Chipotle so you can check out their veggie bowl. I'm just kidding. We won't do that. But we do appreciate Chipotle's support in providing delicious food for Andy almost every day. So good, man. Well, thank you very much for catching us up. I think that probably wraps us up for today, unless there's anything pressing that you wanted to chat about before we call it a day.
No, I think that's good. I could probably go on for hours about the co-working scene that I've seen and my decision, but I think, yeah, we better call it.
Okay, we'll call it. We'll hear more about it later, I'm sure. But I think that's been great. Thank you so much. Just before we jump off the air, I do want to remind everybody, we just said it, but just to remind everybody, show notes for this episode and all the previous episodes are at freelancelifepodcast.com. And obviously also the affiliate link to the WeWork and other things that we share throughout the show will all be there so that you can support us as we provide this podcast for you. We're mostly doing this show out of the goodness of our hearts, to be completely honest with you, because we're interested in freelancing and we're interested in sharing our experience with you. So if you can support us, please do. We'd really, really appreciate it. And My Freelance Life, like I said at the top of the show, is a production of Millo. You can learn more about us at millo.co. If you want to find our other podcasts, we do have a few other podcasts. You can find them at millo.co/podcasts. This show is edited by Danny Gilman. Thanks, Danny. He's at echopodmedia.com. And the theme music for this show is by Joaquin Carud. It's called Road Trip. We will talk to you next time on episode 26 of My Freelance Life. Talk to you later.